Our reading from God's Word this morning will come from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord.
Obey your parents in the Lord. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. When we read that and think about it, do we not usually think of smaller children? And perhaps one of the reasons for that is that this particular passage is addressed to children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor your father and your mother. And I think sometimes we almost get the idea that that kind of attitude toward parents is limited to the years when we are under their control, we have our feet under their table, or we are at home. But there's another passage in Matthew, the 15th chapter, where especially the same commandment to honor father and mother is given. And it's in a setting that's a bit different from Ephesians chapter 6. Jesus at verse 3 in Matthew 15 said, "Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death." You'll notice if you look back at verse 1 in that passage that he's talking to scribes and Pharisees, even particular scribes and Pharisees who were trying to entrap him. From time to time, trying to corner him and make him look bad. And as he's talking to these adults, he says to them, you ought to honor your father and your mother. This morning, I want us to think about the subject of continued respect for our parents. It is true that those of you who are boys and girls and still at home are to obey your parents and you're to honor your parents. But I suggest to you this morning that we never get old enough to quit honoring our fathers and our mothers. And that those of us who are adults need to think about this. It is true that Ephesians 6:1 says, obey your parents. And perhaps we need to do a better job than we have done in teaching our younger ones that. It seems to me that there is a trend today for boys and girls to not obey their parents, many times talk back to them or sass them, as we sometimes use the word. I don't know of anything that gets my attention any more quickly than to hear a very small boy or girl talk back to his dad or mother and in a public sense argue with what dad and mother say. That indicates that maybe there has not been the kind of training that there ought to be, or at least there has not been the kind of learning that there ought to be. And I admit that sometimes I have a difficult time not wanting at least to slap a child like that who will talk back to his dad or to his mother. And I am reminded, and I try even as often as I can to remind the smaller ones that if they were living under the old law, there would be a serious problem, because a rebellious child that would talk back to his dad and mother under the old law was, by the commandment of God, to be stoned to death. I have an idea that that might solve a great deal of the population explosion in our world today if we were living under that law. Certainly, we need to teach our little ones and our younger ones to obey their parents, to listen to their parents. The only exception to that is given there in Ephesians 6. Their obedience is to be in the Lord, and if parents were to ask that child to do something that violated God's word, there is a higher authority. But that's not usually the case if there is any degree of love whatsoever in the relationship in the family. So children, obey your parents. It seems to me that as we grow older and come to the point in life that we are on our own and are to be responsible for our acts, that this commandment of obedience may change a bit. We certainly do not continue to obey our dads and mothers after we get to adulthood like we did when we were children. And I think a study of God's Word from the beginning to the end shows that God had a plan whereby this obedience pattern would bring us to where we would be better able to make decisions on our own. But there in verse 2 of Ephesians 6, he uses another word, and that word is honor. Honor thy father and thy mother. He is talking to younger ones in Ephesians 6. Jesus is talking to older ones in Matthew 15. And the conclusion is that this honor that we are to give to our parents never ceases. My dad is dead. My mother is still living. And I believe that I have the commandment from God to honor both of them even today. And after mother is gone, if I'm still living and they're both gone, I believe that commandment will continue to be with me to honor my dad and my mother. There are different ways that I can honor them. I certainly need to honor them by word of mouth, by letting them know my appreciation for what they have done for me. I can honor them in other ways by seeing that their needs are met, a point that we shall discuss in just a moment in more detail. But no matter how old we get, folks, we need to honor our parents. However, I believe that we sometimes misunderstand that word honor and take it too much to an extreme. I know of several people, even some with whom I'm acquainted today, who in the name of honoring their parents will not honor their Lord in obedience to Him, will not honor their God to become a New Testament Christian. Many times the statement is made, if I were to become a member of the Lord's church or if I were to become a Christian, I would be doing something different from what my dad and mother did, and therefore I would be dishonoring them. We need to put that in proper focus, and we need to understand that. Honoring my parents does not mean that I will copy every action that I saw or see in their lives. But it means that I will live by the principles that they have taught me and instilled in me. There may be circumstances in my life where the circumstances are such that they're different from what my dad and mother knew, and I may need to make a decision that might be somewhat different from what they might have made or even did make several years ago. For example, suppose that one of my parents had an illness that could have been made better by using a certain medicine which was available even at the time that that parent was living, but it was not known by the parent that that medicine existed. And maybe even death came sooner for my parent or your parent because of that. Now, 10 or 15 years later, even after a parent has died of a certain illness, I find that I have that same illness, and by the time that I have it, we have discovered a drug or a medicine that will cure it. My dad maybe didn't know about that medicine, therefore he did not use it. Now I know about it. What would my dad want me to do? What did he teach me as far as principle is concerned? And if there is a medicine that is available that will cure me of a disease that took my father's life, am I dishonoring him if I use that to make my life better or to do what I believe is right today? I don't think so. There are some ways of investing money today, for example, as one plans for retirement, that were not known 50 years ago in the way that you and I know it today. Suppose that our parents did not invest in a way to take care of themselves when they retired. And now here, 20, 30 years later, we see an opportunity to invest in a way that is scriptural and right to where we can do a better job of being ready for retirement. If I use those investments which are available to me today, am I criticizing or condemning my parents because they did not use it? I don't think so. Because, you see, they taught me to do the best that I could do. They taught me to use the principles of integrity and honesty and decency and morality. And if I see things today and have opportunities today that they did not have, and I take advantage of those and stay within the boundaries of those principles that they taught me, I believe I am still honoring my parents. And of course, the area that is so really important in this is the area of religion. There are times that people will learn what Jesus wants them to do, but they will not do it because their parents did not do it that way. Maybe their parents did not know what the Bible teaches that one has now learned. But if those parents taught us to be honest, would they not especially want us to be honest with God and with Christ? What I'm saying is we are to honor our parents. But that means that we are to live by the principles that they taught us and apply those in whatever the situation may be that may be a bit different today. And to use what we learn to try to do right. I think if my dad and mother taught me anything, and I would assume that almost anyone could say this, anyone who's present this morning, they taught me to try to do what is right on every occasion. You see, whatever I do today is not going to change even the eternal destiny of my father. God knows his life, and he's going to judge him according to his life. What I do today will not change the destiny of my mother. Unless there is something that she needs to know and I learn it and I teach her so that she can do a better job today of doing what God wants her to do. What I do relative to any decision that I make today is going to affect my life and not necessarily dishonor my parents. In the third place, the Bible teaches us in Proverbs 20 and 20 that we're not to curse father and mother. Curse not thy father and mother. He that curseth his father and mother is going to receive condemnation and punishment. This goes back to reemphasize the point that I made earlier in the lesson. No matter how old we get or how old our dads and mothers get, it is never right for us to curse them or to say any word that is out of place. But contrarywise, to use respect in our association with them. Even if we disagree completely with something that dad or mother said or dad or mother does, there is no reason to be disrespectful. And even if we make a decision that goes in a different direction, and we believe we have to make that decision, there is never a time that it is right to be unkind. And so we need to emphasize to those that are younger and to those of us that are older that we should never curse father and mother. Should never be disrespectful to them with our words or with our actions. God's word also says in 1 Timothy 5:4 that we should requite our parents. Another version translates that repay. Later on in that chapter at verse 8 he says provide. And at verse 16 he uses the word relieve. In this entire setting of 1 Timothy 5 he's talking about caring for those that are older, especially for those that are widows. And he emphasizes throughout the entirety of the chapter that those of us who are children, those of us who are relatives, those of us who are offspring, have the first responsibility to see that the needs are met. Verse 16 does bring the church in and gives the church a responsibility for those who are widows indeed and those who do not have family to take care of them or will not take care of them. But the setting from the earlier part of the chapter through the entirety of it emphasizes that we as offspring have a responsibility to requite, to provide for, and to relieve our parents. And that verse there, requite, or that word requite in verse 4, is a word that basically means repay. It was not intended to suggest that you keep a record of exactly the dollars and cents that dad and mother spent on you and then you turn around and spend that much back. That's not the idea. But the idea is that dad and mother took care of me when I was smaller. They took care of my needs when I could not take care of my needs. And now when life changes at the other end of the spectrum and they're unable to take care of their needs, he's saying that I have a responsibility to my parents to requite them, to provide for them, and to relieve them. As they were bringing us up as little boys and girls, there were times that they had to ask for help from someone else. In 1957, I had to have an appendectomy. My dad and mother did not perform it. They saw that it was performed by someone who had the skill to do what they could not do and what was needed. As my parents get older, there may be times that they will have things that are needed that I cannot do for them personally, but that I can find someone who has the skill to do it and to see that their needs are met. It is important, I think, for us to keep that point in mind. But we are to relieve our parents and to take care of them. And folks, one of the saddest things that happens is for a person to get older and their children not to have the time. We usually think in terms of money, but not to have the time to take care of the needs of dad and mother. But then there are two other passages that I want to emphasize this morning where the word parent or the word father or mother is used. The first of these is Genesis 2:24, and it's said again in Matthew 19 and perhaps in other places. He says a man is to leave his father and mother. Do we understand what that means? He says there is a time when a man is to leave his father and mother. He's specifically talking about the time of marriage. Cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. I think sometimes that people do not learn how to leave father and mother. As much as a dad and mother may love you, there is a type of love that dad and mother cannot give. There is a type that God saw that Adam needed, even in the Garden of Eden, that is needed by each individual. It cannot be found with dad and mother. And so the same God that said obey and honor and relieve said leave. There are some circumstances where one is to leave father and mother. That doesn't mean that he honors them less or that he loves them less. It doesn't mean that he forgets them. But it means that there is another relationship that becomes more important. And I've often wondered, and perhaps I don't understand this like others do because I've not been in this set of circumstances, I've often wondered how a person could say, I'm not going to become a Christian because my dad and mother are not, when his wife or her husband already is. We should not use the human relationship first to either become a Christian or not become a Christian. But if any relationship is going to be first, ought it not be the relationship with one's spouse? And if I am taking care of my wife and trying to develop the right kind of home and family with my wife, that may involve some decisions that are a little bit different from the way dad and mother made those decisions. Am I dishonoring them? I don't think so. They taught me by word and by action that a husband and wife are to love each other and to put each other first before other members of the family. And so leaving father and mother does not dishonor father and mother if we keep it in proper focus and understand exactly what is involved. And then there is a very unusual passage in Luke 14:26 where Jesus tells me that I must hate my father and mother. Now, that's a little bit hard to understand until you put it in context. He said there, if a man will not hate his father and mother and wife and children and sisters and brothers, and even himself also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, we understand when we look at other passages that say the same thing and cast light upon it, that the word hate is used in the sense of love less, not quit loving. And certainly not to entertain what we usually think of when we think of the word hate. But Jesus says, when it comes to the relationship with him, that our love and respect for him ought to be so great that the love and respect we have for parents can even be called hate. Now, if there is such a diversity in these two and such a difference between the two, we certainly ought to understand that it would never be appropriate for us to let parents or anybody else come between us and Jesus, between us and God. God has to be first. Jesus has to be first. And he even uses the word hate. We just don't tend to think of that we are to hate father and mother. But under some circumstances, that's exactly what he says. Now, if we have all of our factors involved in the right way, there's no problem. Because you see, if dad and mother respect God and respect His Word, even though they may not understand all of the Word and may not have even obeyed all of it, but they respect God and they respect His Word, and then I learn from the Word of God what I'm to do to obey God, I can obey God and still honor the fact that my parents respect His Word and respect Him, though the specific actions may be somewhat different. We need to learn that we do not dishonor our parents by serving God. We do not dishonor our parents by doing something that may be a bit different from what they did. When we learn from the Word of God what we are to do, it may just very well be that they did not know some of the things that we know. I have forefathers on back in generations who did not know the Bible and who did not understand the Bible, as I believe God's Word can be understood. But as far as I'm able to determine, from what I know about my father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather for whom I was named, and even generations beyond that, and also on my mother's side, I don't believe that I have an ancestor, as far back as I can find, who had anything less than a respect for God and for His Word. Now, some of them were not New Testament Christians. They had not been taught. They didn't understand. But I believe every one of them had a respect for God's Word, and that when I respect God's Word today, and do my very best to live as a New Testament Christian, that at the same time I'm honoring God, I'm honoring my parents, my grandparents, and on back down the line. Although I may not be doing exactly the same action that they did, I'm living by the same principles that they taught and upheld. Folks, we need to continue to honor our parents. But far above that, we need to be sure that we honor God. And the way we honor God is by obeying Him, doing what He's told us to do. Therefore, when you understand that the Bible teaches you to be baptized into Christ and you honor God, you're not dishonoring anybody. Or when you realize that you are to be restored to your first love and honor God, you're not dishonoring anybody. By doing what is right, you bring honor to everybody. So this morning, as the invitation of Christ is extended, we just encourage you to do right, as together we stand and sing.
Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to Him.